Savages, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First off, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Trust me, people, you're going to love it. Thank you.
Now, from the Savage Studios, this is the Savage Empire with your host, Mike Trainer.
This is indeed the Savage Empire. Thank you guys for joining. How do you liking the new intro? It's pretty cool, huh? I'm digging it, loving it. This guy did a lot of good services for me here. I'm loving it. That's just the beginning, folks. This show will be upgrading, getting better all the time. Stick with me, all right? Let's get right into it, shall we? We'll start with the news and the notes. A lot of teams, surprisingly, are interested in Mike Tauchman. Reports of 8 clubs. This comes from Andy Martino, and I know how we all feel about Andy Martino. And I'm hoping he's not making this up. But it is understandable that teams would be interested in Tauchman, who I believe should have been the fourth outfielder in the first place, but we're past that now. It's going to be Gardner, 75-year-old Brett Gardner. And the cheaper, inexpensive Brett Gardner Light will be moved to another team. And hopefully we can get, I don't know, probably a pitcher, bullpen guy, an arm, something like that out of it. Sad to say, but most likely Tauchman will be gone. Although now I also do hear that the Yankees are considering keeping him. I don't see how. He has no flexibility. You'd have to put him on the roster just to what? Hold him? An occasional start here and there? He provides no other flexibility other than outfielder. And it's really sad that they're willing to give up on him. I see a lot of potential in him in terms of being a quality backup outfielder. But such is life. So expect him to be moved in the next few days. I doubt he's obviously not going to break camp with the team. So I expect him to be moved. I heard the Phillies have interest in him. So I wonder what we can get for them. Next, we move on to, as you've heard by now, Justin Wilson's MRI came back negative, which is good. So it's just shoulder tightness. And they gave him some Midol, and he should be okay soon enough. Andujar. I'm not seeing anything new on his wrist or hand. I believe there was some numbness. Anyway, I haven't heard anything. He's going to be out a while. So, not that he was going to break camp with the team anyway. He was going to be sent to Scranton, but I don't know. So, I see also we have the Yankees will open at 20% fan capacity, which is great news. That they upped it from 10 to 20. And that's just all indications that they will slowly, as more people become vaccinated, will slowly open up to full capacity. So that's great news. So whether you feel about the vaccinations or not, if you want to go to a game, you should do your part and get vaccinated. I mean, honestly, even if they put a chip in us, it's not like the government couldn't track us anyway, right, guys? Just kidding, you psychos. Dietrich pulled himself out of a game yesterday in order to protect himself. I see Bruce did sort of the same thing. I don't understand this. I guess there was a deadline for the Yankees to put them on the roster or sign them. But obviously this is going to come down to the last days. I don't understand why he would do that. If you're competing for a spot on the team, you haven't shown all that much to make the decision easy. And honestly, I think Bruce makes the team over Dietrich. But I think it comes down to, for Dietrich, I think it comes down to whether they feel like holding him instead of Tyler Wade, who has options, is worth it to the team more short term than just keeping Tyler Wade up. Now, the curtain has been lifted on Tyler Wade, and it is pretty obvious now that there really is not a reason to hold on to him. And if Mrs. Tyler Wade is listening to this, I know how you feel, Penny. I know. I get it. Don't be mad. But the truth, we're all about the truth here. Tyler Wade is okay defensively. He's above average defensively. He's not great. If he was great, he'd be on a team. They would carry him in his horrible offensive stats. The man, and I've seen him play in AAA Scranton. I don't live more than an hour away from that stadium in Scranton. I've seen him play when he was down here. And the kid, you watch him play in the minor leagues, and he's good. He looks like a major league player. He carries himself like a major league player. He plays outstanding down here. And then when he gets to the majors, he's dog shit. And I don't know why. And this is nothing new. We've seen this before, but a lot of players throughout our lives. This is what I like to call a AAA All-Star Plus. Good enough, great for the minors, not good enough for the majors. That's what he is. It simply comes down to holding on to him anymore is not worth it. Now then, your current backup shortstop would be Gio. Now, Gio can spell Glaber at short. Glaber's still young enough where he, you know, if you want to give him a rest, it shouldn't be more than a day anyway. So they can plan around that. Dietrich can fill in at third. Jay Bruce can fill in at first if need be, or the outfield, so can Dietrich. And you still got Gardner, so there's a lot of flexibility here. So, in a way, you can keep guys fresh. But the thing is, Tyler Wade's a much better glove at short, probably, than Gio. Otherwise, this experiment would have ended a long time ago. So, that's the last question probably going into the season. So, we shall see how that turns out. And I'm about done with Tyler Wade. Yanks add 4 to the 40-man roster. But the Rule Draft 5 coming up in a couple weeks. The New York Yankees added right-handed pitchers Ronzi Contreras, Yoendris Gomez, Alexander Vizcaino, and infielder Oswald Peraza to the 40-man roster, protecting them from the Rule 5 draft. If you know anything about prospects, these guys are pretty good, okay? Probably going to be up in the next few years, but you want to protect your own. You want to protect the guys you have faith in. So, just a little news and note there. Brian Hoke, our guy, we all love Brian, probably one of our favorite beat writers, put in his 40-man prediction on the 21st. So let's go over this. Catchers, Sanchez and Higgy. Yes, obviously. Voit at first. DJ, Gio, Glaber, Clint, Hicks, Judge, Gardner, and Bruce as the backups, which means he has Bruce as the backup first baseman. Stanton as the DH, obviously. Now, he still has Tyler Wade on here as his utility guy. So let's read what he wrote. Wade has a good shot to make the Yanks roster as a jack of all trades, boasting the best speed on the roster, as well as the ability to play most positions in the infield. Wade's ability to serve as a backup shortstop is a valuable asset on this roster. The club is also considering Derek Dietrich, who is in camp on a minor league contract. Dietrich has not hit much this spring, but Boone said his career track record will weigh heavily in their decision. We shall see. I mean, that's really it, because they're going to move Talkman, so that eliminates the Talkman problem. Bruce, I think, will make the team. I think when they signed him, they had an idea that he would make the team as the backup first baseman slash outfielder, and they signed Dietrich late after that. But I think they thought Bruce will beat out Mike Ford, and he offers more flexibility. Our starting five pitching has been set. Cole, Kluber, Taillon, Monty, and Herman. Now, I think we all knew Herman was going to beat out Garcia, who they optioned to Scranton, the Scranton camp, yesterday. It's not negative on Garcia. Herman pitched outstanding this spring training. Putting aside all of our personal feelings, putting aside everything we despise about this man, what did I tell you on the last episode? If he has value to the team, they will keep him. He has shown that he is valuable. He just has to show that he's a changed man off the field. And if he wins, forgiveness will come his way. That's just the way it goes in sports, folks. Let's be honest. You can get pissed off all you want, but it's a business. You think the Yankees give a shit about what he does at home? They only give a shit about how it affects them. Let's all be grown up about it already. That's, you know, as far as they're concerned, if he doesn't pull any more shit, they already moved on. The fans can carry an axe for it. They can do whatever, you know? And that's just the way it goes. You can do whatever you want. Like I said, I'm not trying to tell you how to feel. He made the team as the fifth starter. He could be, honestly, if he repeats his 2 years ago performance and helps them get to a World Series title, I'm guessing a lot of you people will get over it anyway. So we'll see how this all plays out. Bullpen. He has 8 relievers. Chapman, who's suspended for, I think, the first 2 games maybe. Chad Green, Darren O'Day, Justin Wilson, Sessa, Lasagna, Nick Nelson, and Lucas Leach? I don't know how to pronounce that name. Left-hander Zach Britton's injury opened another spot at the back end of the bullpen, with 2 opportunities now projected to be up for grabs. Nelson boasts a 4-pitch mix that the Yankees see helping them either as a starter or reliever. He is likely to win a spot in the bullpen after hurling 6 1/3 scoreless innings through Saturday. Luge hasn't pitched in the major since 15 and isn't on the 40-man roster, but the Yanks will find it difficult to argue with 13 strikeouts against 1 walk and 6 1/3 Grapefruit League frames. Plus, he would add another lefty to the pen, because that's what we need, more lefties, well, especially when Britton gets back. So that is his projected 40-man roster. Now, this is a week old, but I can't argue with any of that. Let's see if we can find anything else. Excuse me. Now, we're all hoping for a Gary Sanchez return to form. Now, if you're on Twitter and you're a Yankee fan, and of course you are because you wouldn't be listening to this and or following me if you weren't. You know about our guy, our friend, Frankie Too Loud. Okay? We all know Frankie. Good dude. He posted a pretty interesting video the other day. And so I'll give a shout out to him because I'm going to talk about the video. He posted a video of Gary Sanchez's leg kick through the years. And all on home run pitches. He's shown big leg kick, little leg kick, basically no leg kick. And there's no rhyme or reason to it. It's really always been about timing. All right? In baseball, you use a leg kick for timing, to time your pitches. We all know this. It's nothing new. It was interesting to know that Gary has not been consistent. Now, at times, especially last year and the year before, he just seemed to be getting dominated by the high fastball. Here's my fastball. See if you can hit it. And he just wasn't. Now, does the late kick contribute to any of that? Or was he just in his own head? Was he just not, was he just confused? Was he just not recognizing pitches? I'm sure a lot of that contributed, and you got to factor in the whole one knee catching bullshit that they got him doing, which I've been totally against from day one. He had his best year catching when he was in his normal catching stance. As you know how I feel about it. We got a lot of pitchers who like to throw the ball down, and sometimes they like to spike the ball. Britton is number one on that list. Even Cole can throw a ball into the dirt. Doesn't have to worry about that with Tanaka anymore. But we got a lot of guys who like to throw the ball low. And unlike Higgy, who when it sits in a normal stance can spring from side to side, Gary is very limited in that as he is on one knee. And they say, the analytics say that it's better that way for his framing. And you know how I feel about the framing. It really depends on who's behind the plate calling the strikes. They have their zone. I'd rather have a guy be able to block a ball in the dirt then frame a pitch that's close to being a strike. Like a Molina thing, you know? How many calls is he going to steal a game compared to a one wild pitch, one pass ball that can potentially, cost him a game? And it has cost him a game in the past. Now, Gary will always take the blame for these things no matter what. And partly it is his fault, and partly it's the Yankees coaching who continuously have him do this. Now, like I said, we're going to have to learn to live with it, but also he needs to get better at it. But you know how you can erase all that shit? We will overlook the defensive lackness if you start hitting. He has hit a little bit this year. So far, there's glimpses of old Gary. And I think him going to the fall league helped a little bit too. He seems to be focused. I think we're going to have a better year from Gary. Now, you have to remember one thing. He's on his last year with the Yankees. Okay? This is it for him. If he does not have a return to form resurgence Gary Sanchez year, he will be gone. All right? They're carrying him for $6 million plus this year. They're not going to allow him to go back to arbitration again. They're not going to offer him a big time catching contract, because make no mistake about it, they would have to give him a $200 million plus contract. Do you want to give Gary Sanchez a $200 million plus contract for 5, 6 years, 6, 7 years, something like that? 6 years, $220 million, just throwing numbers out there, but you know, around there. Do you want to give him that contract? I bet most of you are saying no right now. Hell no. I'm kind of in the same boat. It really depends on what he does this year. This is his contract year. And we all know, we've all seen it, a lot of players step up in their contract year. My problem is, what does he do after he gets the contract? Does he go back to bad Gary? Or does he continue to be good? And the Yankees have no leverage with him. I doubt after, excuse me, after they give him a deal, they'll be able to move him, especially if they give him the big money. And teams are going to look at him like, do we really want to take this guy? Is he going to be worth the headache of bad defense? He can still throw guys out. That's never been a problem. My problem with him is his ability to block the ball in the dirt. That's been my issue. We will see how that plays out this year. Glaber at short. Glaber last year came into camp looking good, and then COVID hit, and then it's almost like he went home and sat on the couch and done his Twitch and played his video games and then came back lazy and out of shape. And it stayed that way with him throughout the whole 60 games and into the playoffs. He made a lot of bonehead plays. Now, he was able to get to the ball most times. His range is all right. It's not like DD range. But, you know, we had Jeter for 15 years, and his range was shit. It seemed to be with Glaber that he would get the ball and then, like, throw it away. Most of his errors were throwing errors. And to me, that's focus. And I don't know what his deal was last year. He seems to be in a lot better shape this year, focused and ready to go. I project no issues with Glaber at short. If he can get to it, he'll make the play, and I think he'll be able to make the throw. He'll have an error or two. Everybody makes an error. But consistently, I think he will be no issue. I think we're going to be pleased with how Glaber plays. DJ will be DJ. Voit will be Voit. Defensively, will be okay. Not great, but good enough. Gio will be Gio. Clint Frazier, I project. And I love his confidence. He's out there saying the other day he has goals in his mind. He wants to be an all-star. I think he will be an all-star this year. I think this is the Clint Frazier breakout year. The shackles of not knowing where your role is on this team, the stress of always watching your back. Now, he still needs to watch his back because Brett Gardner is still on this team, and we all know that Gardner will try to make the starting lineup every day and keep himself out there, which I think is a mistake, regardless of how hot he plays. We need to get Clint Frazier going. We need him to feel that it is his job now, because we can't keep fucking with his head. It's his time. I think he's going to have a breakout year. I'm saying 30 home runs or more. I think he has that kind of potential. This is his breakout year, folks. Let's enjoy it. It's going to be nice. Clint's going to help us this year big time. As long as he stays up to his standard from last year defensively, he will be in the lineup almost every day. Okay? Let's keep an eye on that. It's going to be fun. All right? Judge and Stanton, it comes down to health, as always. I think, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, I want to be positive. We need to stop focusing on the negative with the injuries the last couple years. I know it's hard, and we've had our share already. I think we're going to get a full season out of these two. All right, oh, don't yell, don't laugh. Just stay with me. Believe. Believe, everybody. Let's believe that they will finally get a full season together in this lineup. How fucking scary is that? Right? Hicks, and I said this last year, is the key. Defensively is great. Okay? Offensively, he was okay last year. Now, the problem is, he was coming back from Tommy John. It takes more than a year to get your shit together. He didn't look very comfortable last year. He tried to make the best of it. And he finally started to come around towards the end of the year. He's looking great this spring already. He's hitting for power. He's taking his walks, which is important. They're looking at putting him in the middle of the lineup. He's a switch hitter who can split up the righties. All right? So instead of having him lead off or things like that, they're talking about like fifth in the lineup. He is the key, as he can get on base. And that's RBIs, and he can run. He's got speed. He is healthy this year. Remember how Didi looked last year for Philly when he had a year removed from the Tommy John? Because remember his last year with us? He was just not great offensively, but last year he looked more like himself because he was healthy. I expect the same thing from Hicks this year. I kept saying that. I believe that he will be very important to this lineup. Probably the most important guy. It's always the guy you never think of. That's the key. I think it's Hicks. Pitching, I think our rotation's going to be good. I don't see Kluber should be ready to go. Tylon should be ready to go. These guys have looked great so far. They're going to have their ups and downs. Everybody does. It's baseball. My concern with is injuries, and I think they're going to manage that pretty good. There's probably going to be innings limits. This is why Garcia becomes important early on. This is why Severino becomes important later on. When he comes back, I wouldn't be surprised if they go to a six-man. Just to break things up a little bit. They might have to this year. I know they're against doing a six-man rotation, but they might have to. Because you got to get Severino in. And what are you going to do? You're going to drop Herman? You're going to drop Monty? I think Monty's going to have a decent year. I could see him winning 15 games as a number four starter. I like Monty. I think people need to start giving him respect, too. He saved our ass a little bit last year in the playoffs. At least, extended it a game. Cole's going to be Cole, despite MLB cracking down on the foreign substance, which has always been rumored to Cole. People like Verlander. Hey, listen. Might as well talk about that now. We all heard the rumor about the Coca-Cola rosin paste, pine tar bullshit that pitchers use now to increase their spin rate. Baseball apparently wants to crack down on these things, and I guess it's to open it up for more offense, to make baseball exciting to the casual fan, because it's not about pitchers striking people out, it's about batters hitting home runs. I think Cole is good no matter what. He still has the stuff, whether or not he uses the rosin or not. And he probably does. Let's be honest. I don't even care. I care about offensive players cheating. I never cared about pitchers cheating because it's been widely known for years, generations, folks, that pitching, the pitchers used pine tar. They use whatever they can. Mostly for control. And I've always been for it. I'm sorry if you think cheating is cheating, but you know what? I'd rather have a pit, especially now with these pitchers who throw, all of them throw over 100 miles an hour. Would you want them to have control of that pitch, or would you want them to be able to throw 100 but not know where it's going to go? I don't know about you. Makes it hard to hit the ball when you're not sure where it's going. At least you have an idea. That 100-mile fastball is going to be a strike somewhere. And at least it's in the zone you can swing the bat. When these guys don't have control of their pitch, it may hit you. And then you got to worry about it. So, I'm just saying. Now, we're about 5 days away from opening day. And I can't wait. We're all excited. I hope you've all downloaded the Yes app, been able to find specific cable companies that have the Yes network, or by other means like I do in terms of being able to stream the games. I won't say because it's not the most legal thing, but however you need to do it, get your situation handled so you're ready to go. Folks, this is going to be a special year. I think the injuries that happened to the White Sox, the injuries that happened to Tampa, the Red Sox not being as strong, I think the American League is weak this year. And there really is no excuse why we should not be in the World Series this year. Now, devastating injuries aside, but they have to overcome that. This window is closing. All right? Some of you might think I'm crazy. Some of you might actually agree with me. This window is closing. It's really time to start making the move. All right? We need to get to the World Series. Now, whether it'll be against the Dodgers, the Padres, whoever else, you know, there's a lot of National League juggernauts right now. In a series, there's no reason why we can't beat anybody. If this team is at 100%, we can beat anybody. All right? We just have to do it all year long. Carried into the playoffs. We keep going. It is time to get 28. Say it with me. 28. We are getting 28. All right? Starts in 5 days. Get pumped. And on that note, we're going to close the show. Next episode will be just right before the season starts. We'll have all our rosters, all our questions will be answered, and we will talk about how all the players will affect the upcoming season. And then we get ready. And then I'll talk about how I'm going to do my recording schedule. As always, subscribe for future episodes. Leave a comment. Tell your friends, tell your families, tell your enemies to tune in. I appreciate you all. Now listen to the new outro.
Thanks for listening to The Savage Empire. Subscribe and leave a comment wherever you listen. Follow us on Twitter @ Savage Empire Pod. And of course, go Yankees!